Imagine a digital space that's hyper-customized to meet your unique vision, where a chat with AI results in a breathtaking storefront that's got your brand all over it. A business-ready site stacked with all the e-com tools you need to manage and scale your store. Sounds like a stretch, right? Wrong. Get multi-channel selling, dropshipping, customized analytics, and a full marketing suite, all of it wrapped up in a user-friendly workspace. Head over to Wix.com and turn your vision into revenue.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
It's International Women's Day or Women's Weekend. We have two pieces of good news. Ireland has been named the second in Europe for investment in women-led startups. And a study from Trinity College has found that the average daily rate for female contractors is now higher than that of men. So joining us to discuss their own senior jobs and positive changes such as these, we have Lisa Toomey, the general manager of the luxurious five-star hotel Ashford Castle in County Mayo. We have Eimear Higgins, the Minister of State at the Department of Public Expenditure, National Development Plan Delivery and Reform, with special responsibility for public procurement, digitalisation and e-government. Is the name long enough, Eimear, for you? Is
just quite, about. It's quite hard on a business card, I must say.
It really is. You must have to do it in code. And Natasha Jamal from MasterCard, who is their Vice President for Social Impact for Strive, which aims to build the resilience of small businesses by unlocking access to capital, new markets and networks. And staying with us, of course, Kate English, Chief Economist with Deloitte. Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me turn to Lisa in Ashford Castle. It's not a line of work being a general manager of a hotel that there were many women in 20 years ago.
No, absolutely not. And I'm hotel manager in Ashford Castle, and I'm actually the first female in this position in the castle, in Ashford Castle, that they've had. You know, hotels traditionally, I think, at the top tier of management were usually men, but that's changing now, thankfully. And you see a lot more females in leadership positions, even in the castle itself. Niall Rochford is our managing director, but 80% of our leadership team are actually strong females. Mm. So that's great to see.
Do you need
so he surrounded himself by women.
Do you need sharper elbows to rise up the ladder?
You know what you need? You need to work really hard. And I think work for a company that's sincerely diverse in what they say. You know, so Red Carnation, Ashford Castle, it's a company that they don't see gender in it. But with any line of work, no matter what you do, you will be seen if you work hard at it and you're committed to it. So I think that would be the advice that I would give any woman in hospitality would be to work hard at it.
Now, let's bring in Natasha Jamal from MasterCard. Similar question. It was a male-dominated industry, financial services, but not anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Joan, thank you so much for having me. I think at MasterCard specifically, we've over the last few years been on quite a journey to bring more female, not just into the organization, but really sort of catalyze STEM education to create that sort of pipeline for talent into financial services. Within MasterCard specifically, we have a number of programs ongoing over the last couple of years to help bring more females into leadership positions. So looking at sort of director level, VP level and above, and also a number of programs that are looking to bring women into boards externally. So I think tackling this issue is one that needs to be done both within organizations themselves, but also to start to build that pipeline of talent. And that's what we've been doing a lot through our STEM work and focusing on young girls and young girls' education in tech.
Let's bring in the Minister, Eimear Higgins. You've got a fairly business-focused portfolio. There was a time when if there was a female TD in government, they'd be given health or education. Thankfully, those days are coming to an end.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's great to see so many women working in the finance area, working in business as well. And as you say, we have had some really good news from an Enterprise Ireland perspective around supporting more and more female founders to build their company to success. And that's exactly what we need to get to. I suppose politics is still male dominated. Mm. Over three quarters of our TDs are men. And that's despite the fact that we've seen record number of women stand for election. The election just gone in November, we had over 50% increase in the number of females who stood 4 years previous.
Tell us, Eimear, without getting into politics, does that tell us that the electorate, 50% of whom are women, are still voting in huge numbers for men?
You're right, it does. And I suppose part of that is because women want to vote for the best candidate. You know, they're not necessarily going to vote specific to gender. But I've done quite a lot of work with some fantastic organisations like See Her Elected and Women for Election to really try and encourage more women, especially if they don't know much about their female candidates, to reach out to them, to learn about them, to give themselves the opportunity to be convinced. Because we need to get to a situation where we're changing the status quo. And that means we need to be electing people who aren't elected currently and women who aren't elected currently. So I suppose my message to the electorate is to give women a shot. Have a look at what they stand for, research them, and see can you find a candidate that you can get behind.
Can I bring back in Lisa in Ashford Castle? In terms of how men interact with women at senior level, I presume they wouldn't dare kind of do the metaphorical tap on the shoulder and well done, you've done very well. I presume those days are over.
Oh, they are. Thankfully, they are over. You know, I think now, especially with so many females in leadership teams, it's become an environment where it's much more common. And, you know, these are women in the positions as well, doing the work that's seen by others to be exceptionally good. And men are looking towards women as well as inspiring. So I think that tilt is shifting.
Mm. Would you say, Lisa, that hybrid working has helped or hindered women as they rise in the corporate ladder?
I think it has had an impact. I think in hospitality, we would always be limited in terms of hybrid working because we're very much guest facing. But I think it definitely has had an impact because it allows a family balance. You know, people can drop their children off to school and still have a full working day and be as productive. So I think hybrid is definitely a bonus in some departments, you know, maybe that finance or support departments for hotels.
Imagine a digital space that's hyper-customized to meet your unique vision, where a chat with AI results in a breathtaking storefront that's got your brand all over it. A business-ready site stacked with all the e-com tools you need to manage and scale your store. Sounds like a stretch, right? Wrong. Get multi-channel selling, drop shipping, customized analytics, and a full marketing suite. All of it wrapped up in a user-friendly workspace. Head over to Wix.com and turn your vision into revenue.
Can I ask the same question of Natasha Jamal from MasterCard?
Yeah, it's a great question, Joe. We actually had some research out this week where we had surveyed women across 41 markets to understand the current state of play for women entrepreneurs and small businesses specifically. We had about 1,000 women in Ireland. And to Lisa's point, we found that actually some of the barriers to starting their own business cited were around this topic of managing childcare arrangements. So certainly this ability. And we also know that a number of women, at least the ones that are starting out their businesses early, are doing these as what we call side hustles alongside full-time employment. So certainly this ability to work hybrid it allows that better management of childcare and to be able to share the load a little bit, which will help push more females into entrepreneurship. One of the things that we also saw as a barrier was this idea of not having a peer network. So whereas I do think the working from home facilities are helpful from a childcare arrangement perspective, it is important to have face-to-face interaction and to find ways to build a peer network, as that's one of the biggest barriers as well. In fact, we had about 30% of women compared to 21% of men cite this as one of the reasons they struggle to start a business. So as with everything, I think it's a balance and it helps in many ways, but there also has to be reasons to come together and share lessons and learnings.
I wonder whether I could bring in Eimear Higgins now, the minister, whether the return to office, which quite a few employers are talking about, whether that could now act as a barrier to that, you know, female startups.
I think that's certainly a concern. And I suppose we've seen a bit of a shift in those kind of global policies, if you like, when it comes from working from home and also when it comes to diversity, equality and inclusion. And I suppose we in Ireland have developed, as a result of COVID, really, let's call it what it is, we've developed a much more accessible workplace in terms of hybrid and
so we could do it after all. And it just took a crisis for us to do it.
Well, that's often the way. I mean, I remember I worked in PayPal. I was chief of staff for global operations there. Our customer service agents all wanted to work from home. We said, absolutely not. It's not possible. You're dealing with people's banking information. It's just too high risk. And then overnight, it had to happen.
It could be possible. Yeah.
It was possible. And not only was it possible, but the metrics all improved.
But does it upset you or frustrate you that some employers, some of whom, you know, you don't physically need to be in the office, are ordering their staff back to the office?
It is genuinely a concern. It's a concern from many aspects, from a public transport perspective, from a traffic perspective as well. We're going to have more people back using our public transport and using our roads. But it's that flexibility element. I think flexibility has been really good, in particular for women in the workplace. But the counter to that is a visibility issue. And in an awful lot of companies, you need to be visible to be on a promotion track. So there has also been that contrary viewpoint that maybe some women who are opting to work from home are at a slight disadvantage compared to their male counterpart. So it's interesting to see the different spectrums of research on this. When I was in PayPal, I was in charge of our diversity and inclusion strategy. And I suppose it would be remiss of me not to call out that it is really disappointing that we now have so many global companies taking a step back from diversity and inclusion, given the new administration's viewpoint.
It's a very good point. And you.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
And I'm still with Lisa Toomey from Ashford Castle, Emer Higgins, the junior minister at the Public Expenditure Department, and Natasha Jamal from Mastercard, and Kate English from Deloitte. Before we took the break, Minister, we were talking about DEI being diluted. You were genuinely worried about that.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I'm speaking to more and more people working in the multinational sector, in particular based here in Ireland, who are voicing that to me, who are saying they're really disappointed to hear at all hands in their company that their company is perhaps diluting or pausing.
Irish
or
companies, US companies?
US-based companies,
right.
US companies based in Ireland is kind of where I'm hearing it from. And I suppose we can all see that in the newspapers, we can see it online. I think there's even podcasts about it. And I suppose that for me is a little bit concerning. And I suppose I would say that that's one of the reasons why it underlines the importance of having female decision makers at the table, whether that's in politics, whether that's as entrepreneurs, because they're the people who are helping to change the face of our local economies, or whether that's at board level. And that's something I'm really committed to.
Of course, some would say, well, if there were more female voices around the cabinet table in Ireland, maybe we could. Now, Natasha, can I bring you in on that? What's the MasterCard policy on DEI? Has that been diluted?
Yeah, I mean, look, our programs and our actions have always been driven by a commitment to really deliver on our business goals, and that's without exception. And we know that that happens only when everyone's treated equally and fairly. So we have been and we committed to be very focused on providing equitable access to opportunities and advancement, and that hasn't changed. It's been ongoing for many, many, many years now. My focus specifically is really how we support small businesses through the MasterCard Center for Inclusive Growth. And what I can tell you there is that our work is going very strong. I mean, we've just closed out an innovation fund for small business owners, where we've awarded grants for over 500,000 euros to different organizations across Europe. Strive is a program that's that we've rolled out across 20 markets that has a focus on supporting female entrepreneurs and underserved entrepreneurs. So from a social impact perspective, where I sit, I mean, we're very strong. We keep going, we keep launching new programs, and we remain steadfast in that commitment.
Kate English from Deloitte, can I bring you in here? And slightly moving a topic slightly, is there a risk, given the success that women have enjoyed over the last 10 years, that boys and impressionable young men lose out and they kind of slip their moorings a little bit and they become attracted to people like Elon Musk and Andrew Tate? Is that something that you've noticed?
Is it something I've personally noticed? No, but I do think it is a risk there. And I think it probably brings back to the wider conversation on social media and the influences large figures on social media can have on many different cohorts of society, of which younger males can be heavily influenced by that. But I think there's an element and there's a responsibility on everyone from family life to schools to workplaces of, you know, the mandate is about trying to encourage cultural and diversity within workforces that reflect our society, you know, and sticking to that and fostering talent that comes from many different backgrounds. So I I think it's social media is at the core of that issue for me, and it's a really difficult one to challenge and to address.
Let's bring in Lisa from Ashford Castle. You already mentioned that 80% of the managers in your business are women. What about the young men? Do they feel neglected, would you say? Not those in Ashford Castle, but and the young men who might see their role in society having changed over the last generation.
I think we have a lot of young people in our industry, and it's really important that we're looking after them, both male and female. I think it's important to understand what it is that they're hoping to move on to and to grow and to nurture that. You know, in hospitality, it's all about the guests as well as the team that are there. So they're inspired by both the people coming in and what they can go on to achieve. So they see people in leadership, you know, be that Niall Rochford or the guests who are coming in who are travel leaders or industry leaders and taking inspiration from that. But I think young men coming up within any kind of industry, all they're looking for is growth. So if you're a company and you're providing that availability of opportunity to them and the culture for them to grow within, then they'll support within it.
Yeah. A final word to you, Minister, in 30 seconds. Where will we be in 25 years? Female Taoiseach? Another female president, more female bosses in the ISEC?
Well, I'd certainly love us to be a more female-led society. And that doesn't mean solely female or anything like that. That means more women at leadership tables, whether that's at a cabinet table or whether that's a boardroom table. I think that's what society needs.
Thank you very much for joining us, all of you. That is Minister of State Emer Higgins, Lisa Toomey from Ashford Castle, Natasha Jamal from MasterCard, and Kate English from Deloitte. That's it for now and for this week.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
Imagine a digital space that's hyper-customized to meet your unique vision, where a chat with AI results in a breathtaking storefront that's got your brand all over it. A business-ready site stacked with all the e-com tools you need to manage and scale your store. Sounds like a stretch, right? Wrong. Get multi-channel selling, drop shipping, customized analytics, and a full marketing suite, all of it wrapped up in a user-friendly workspace. Head over to Wix.com and turn your vision into revenue.